Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Hanukkah ended earlier this week. Christmas is Monday, and we've all been essentially feasting nonstop since Thanksgiving. It seems to be the time of year for food-related festivals.
Well, Kyle Cherik is host of Wisconsin Foodie on public television, and he's a Lake Effect contributor, and he joins us in the studio now. Hey, Kyle, Deus Ex Machina.
I don't know what that means.
The god from the machine.
Oh,
you have to brush up on your Latin because we're talking about Saturnalia.
You brought me here to talk about how Romans influenced Christmas, and you come at me with the god from the machine?
That's right. That's the only Latin I know.
That's heavy, Bonnie.
Anno Domini. I mean, I know that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I got nothing. Okay. I'm a food guy.
You're the food guy.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So Saturnalia, when people are hearing this, it's just happened.
Yeah.
It was the 17th.
Yeah.
So it's still on the calendar, on the Julian calendar. What was it, first of all?
Sure. And
before we get into the how it influenced or didn't Christmas, let's talk about what it was.
Yeah.
Initially.
Well, so Saturnalia was a celebration of Saturn, the harvest. He is the Roman version of the Greek Apollo. And it's a little slippery there. There aren't direct translations, just as when you go from Greek to Latin. Yeah, right. So it's kind of like playing telephone, if you've ever, you know, whispered around the dining room table, and you end up with the cat ate the bananas, and I no longer, yeah.
Right, and right. It's Saturnalia, not whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was the god of the harvest. So back to, like, first of all, we can't really understand how crucial the harvest was for the Romans. Egypt was their breadbasket, but they grew wheat en masse. It was a civic right to have bread every day. And as the great Roman historian Mike Duncan points out in his recent New York Times bestseller, you know, wars would stop for the harvest. I mean, you'd fight right up until October, November, and then either we won or call a truce, see you in the spring, right here on
We're
this
not
field.
Done.
Yeah, exactly.
but we have to take a break.
Yeah, yep. But everybody go back, harvest the remainder of the wheat or what have you, and then plant the winter wheat, right, which would come forth in those early spring months. And then you're, as a farmer, you're kind of off unless you've got livestock. So this time of year, and when we think of winter for the Romans, and I mean Rome and around, that's what it meant to be a Roman, surrounding communities. It's not our winter. It's not the Wisconsin winter. This is Mediterranean winter. This is Italian winter. So
gets down to 40 at night, maybe.
Yeah, you put a jacket on your Vespa when you're driving.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, ciao. Anyway, so it's a different kind of winter. But the celebration of this harvest and then hoping that we will have another fantastic harvest was the Feast of Saturnalia. The word sow, as in to sow your fields, comes from that root of Saturn. And so it was a feast. There were just huge banquets. And it was this whole great turnabout. Slaves were allowed to be in charge for a day. They dressed in their master's clothes. Everybody gambled, including children. Children were truly beloved. They were put on a higher level. They were in charge for a day instead of their parents. People, the conservative politicians who dressed in conservative togas, our word synthesis literally comes from the bright colored outfits, red, purple, and orange primarily, that they would pull together. Whereas now we say that's an amazing, that's a terrific holiday outfit. They would, like, well, you synthesized well. Basically, senator, way to go. The Roman diet. So you slaughter the older animals that you have. And just as human nature does now, when you've got a lot of meat, you've got a lot of pork or steers or chickens. And pork and chickens would have been common to every middle class, even lower class Roman. So you slaughter those animals. You've got lots. Let's eat lots now. And then brine or smoke or, you know, what have you, put up for the winter. Spices. When you go back to Roman recipes, and I know that we've got some links with the story of some other Epicurean chroniclers of history that actually recreated Roman meals from Saturnalia. And the great thing about the Romans is that they wrote stuff down. So there's like a legit cookbook from Roman times. This is what you make for Saturnalia. And they've been recreated through these links.
Have you tried any of those foods?
I have not. I have.
There were some of them I thought, well, I would try that. And there were others I thought, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm not gonna eat that. I don't care if it's Saturnalia.
Well, their version of spices, so cloves, cinnamon, and honey were the big three. The way that we talk about French cooking, the Holy Trinity is onions, carrots, and celery. Those were the big spices, and honey would have been harvested in the late fall as well. So when I look at a cinnamon, clove, and maybe salted chicken, I'm not that keen on it, you know. But to the Romans, this was the time, even if you were a modest household, that you saved up, you splurged on those spices, and then you cooked with it. There's a little honey cake kind of biscuit that they would make that was common throughout Rome. That's basically flour, salt, water, and honey. But they were made to be shared with everyone. People would come to the door, and you would offer them these things. Oftentimes, they would bring you wax candles that they made. I mean, you can see all these great Christmas overlays. And then there's one emperor that tried to sort of control this, because as the calendar kept shifting from the Roman to the Julian to, you know, we're over in the Byzantine, and how it all kind of moved around. Now Saturnalia is celebrated for 5 days. No, it's seven. No, it's three, you know, across the centuries. He tried to control it by basically having public feasting in the Temple of Saturn and in and around. So if you're a priest of Saturn, this is great, because you say, we're going to need some more money. we got to decorate the place up. By the way, we're also kind of an astrologer and kind of an astronomer and kind of a thing. And we're pretty sure that our God is in charge of it getting lighter in the middle of his festival. So you really want to honor him. It's now we know it as the 21st, you know, the solstice, darkest day of the year, 22nd, next day where it gets to be just that minute longer with daylight. So, you know, you can see how all of this comes together into the Christmas celebration of festival of lights and giving of gifts.
Bars
and
from the
feasting.
Solstice.
Yeah.
All of those various kind of the darkest point of the year celebrations where light will come.
Right.
Light returns
right.
at some point.
Right.
But you were saying that there's not a real direct link
no.
between Saturnalia and Christmas.
No, no. Then you have to get into Judaic theologians and all kinds of stuff, and when Mary conceived and how they calculate. And, you know, if you're Eastern Orthodox, then that day is January 6th. If you're Christian, then it's the 25th. It had nothing to do with the Romans, but there's all this overlap with their festival of darkness and light and gift-giving and sweets, spices, dried fruit, nuts. Kids and adults alike gambled with nuts, and you were expected to during Saturnalia. There was also tons of drinking. It was, according to one of the Saturn priests who was quoted by sort of the official poet of the time, this was a time of non-seriousness. Wit was expected. You're supposed to go from door to door singing. They greeted each other by saying, "Lo Saturnalia," which is not far off from Merry Christmas. You know, I mean, though they have nothing to do with each other, but that's sort of custom.
So are you saying that we can blame the Romans for fruitcake?
Yes. Actually, Bonnie, there's almost a direct line
to the
dried fruits and nuts and berries to that awful thing
keeps getting passed down from generation to generation.
They didn't have brandy or whiskey, but yeah, exactly. It's true. If you were wealthy, you were expected during Saturnalia to pay the rent of the poor. So that charitable giving and the sense of feasting that went on for days, and that this is when you pack on the holiday five, right? The Romans had that in spades. So we definitely owe a great debt to them, particularly around the food and the way that we celebrate at this time of year.
All right. Fruitcake or not.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Okay, yeah, me too. Just not one of my favorite things. But there's a lot of other stuff in there.
Yeah.
You know, the mulled wines and the spiced and fruited things and other, you know, we can thank him for that.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Kyle, here's wishing you and yours a very, very happy holiday, and we will see you in 2018.
You as well.
Kyle Cherik is host of Public Television's Wisconsin Foodie and a regular Lake Effect contributor.